Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actress Kim Zimmer. You might have heard of a little show she was on for 26 years called Guiding Light. Stick around. Guiding Light may be cold and in the ground, but Kim Zimmer, is hot and kicking in her new book, I'm Just Saying. All right.
That was good.
You like that?
Yeah.
All right. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Step by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of best-selling titles, including The Help by Catherine Stockett, A Stolen Life by J.C. Dugard, and Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. Here's an excerpt from Bossy Pants, read by the author, Tina Fey.
Because I am nothing if not an amazing businesswoman, I researched what kind of content makes for best-selling books. It turns out the answer is one-night stands, drug addictions, and recipes. Here, we are out of luck. But I can offer you lurid tales of anxiety and cowardice. Why is this audiobook called Bossy Pants? One, because the name Two and a Half Men was already taken. And two, because ever since I became an executive producer of 30 Rock, people have asked me, is it hard for you being the boss? And is it uncomfortable for you to be the person in charge? You know, in that same way they say, gosh, Mr. Trump, is it awkward for you to be the boss of all these people? I can't answer for Mr. Trump, but in my case, it is not.
You can also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of elderly women who won't give up their remote controls until someone gives mouth-to-mouth to their favorite afternoon shows in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Kim Zimmer was with the soap opera Guiding Light for 26 years, more than a third of the 72 years the show was on radio and television. But a look at the picture of her on the cover of her new memoir, I'm Just Saying, Three Deaths, Seven Husbands, and a Clone, My Life as a Daytime Diva, doesn't suggest someone headed for a rocking chair. She's too feisty, based on the content of her book, to ever just fade away. Now, if you watch the show, you listen to the show regularly, you know I'm not a big soap fan. But Kim Zimmer was on the show with her TV husband, Robert Newman, March 2010, and we had a lot of fun. So when I heard she was writing a new book, I absolutely had to have her back and talk about it. And she invested a lot of personality and a lot of truth in this book. Kim Zimmer, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Mr. Media. It's nice to be here.
Nice to be with you and nice to see you this time. I like
this.
Thank you.
Yes, it's lovely.
And tell me, it must be both exhilarating and nerve-wracking to have this book. As we're talking, it's due, I think, in stores August 2nd. We know people are talking about it. How does it feel to have this in your hands?
Well, I've still only received one copy, so it's like the golden egg, you know. I know you have one. They're spread. Yeah.
I have as many copies as Kim does.
They're spread out all over the country because, of course, the publishers send them out to, you know, writers and critics and reviewers and the whole thing. And I keep waiting for my box of 10 that I ordered, but I don't get mine until August 2nd as well. So it is exhilarating. It's and nerve-wracking all at the same time. I mean, you write a book and you purge yourself and you put stuff in there and you don't realize that there will be things that people respond to either favorably or not so favorably. And I knew going into it that it, you know, there would be things that would be controversial, and there are, but hey, you know, that's me. I've always been controversial, so why should it change now at 56 years old?
Was it difficult, you know, being forced to look back at your life? I mean, you know, there's parts of my life that I wouldn't want to recall, but if you're writing a book, you've really got to examine the things that you've done, and you decide, okay, this goes in column A, this goes in column B, this goes in column C. Well, maybe we can skip the stuff in column C, but A and B I got to deal with. And, you know, was there any hesitation on your part once you got into it going, you know, I don't know about this stuff?
Not until it actually was printed and I read it again, you know, the final manuscript, the one that was going to be the final manuscript that gets turned into the publisher and that's it. Mm-hmm. That was when I kind of went, ooh, you know, this is going to be rough for some people to hear, or could this get me in trouble? And then, of course, it gets vetted by the lawyers. And when you realize there really isn't anything that's going to cause problems for the publishers or for myself, that as long as it's the truth, you're okay. So everything in it is the truth.
I read you did a TV Guide interview with Michael Logan, and I read that the biggest legal concern was that you said that the last executive producer of the show, Ellen
Wheeler,
cried a lot, and the lawyers were concerned that you said that. And I thought, wow, that's the worst thing that they've had to worry about.
Exactly, that's what I thought too. And when the publishers called and said, well, this is the one thing that they're concerned about, I was like, I can find a number of people that will back me up on that.
Man.
I mean, I'm a crier too, so I didn't mean that derogatorily, or is that even a word? But it was more like, you know, that's how she dealt with things. And it just reminds me of that great Tom Hanks line from, what's that wonderful movie? There's no crying in baseball, you know?
A League of Their Own, yeah.
Producer, there should be no crying. You're the boss, you know what I mean?
I read those parts because it seems like almost every time you you were with her, she wound up crying in the book.
Yes.
And there's a part of me that's kind of mixed on that. One is we have different but the same expectation of women in management and executive position. I remember it was just a few months ago, or less than that, when Osama bin Laden was captured, and there was a lot of heat put on Hillary Clinton about her response as they were watching it happen, and I thought, hey, there are
differences.
Because
she was emotional.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Come on. There's differences between men and women. We do things differently. Doesn't mean it's any less appropriate. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I know. I now you're going to make me feel bad. You know, she's an emotional person. I'm an emotional person. You put two emotional people together, there's going to be emotion. Hmm. You know. I guess I was just really used to working with men, and to finally be faced where I could manipulate the man with my crying. You know, now I'm working with a woman who cries just as much as I do to make a point. Now you're going to make me start crying.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'll admit, there was that one line that you're referring to there that I did think I might have – tried to steer you, if I was co-authoring that one, mm-hmm. I might have steered you away from that line where you said you did better with men as bosses. It was the kind of thing where even if you feel that way, maybe it doesn't come across the best in print. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know, but you know, my co-writer was a woman too, and maybe she felt the exact same way I did. Mm. You know, it was just too easy for me. Although I did work with another woman, Gail Kobe, when I first started Guiding Light, who was a ball buster, you know, and she handled things like a man would, you know. Ellen was just a lot more feminine, and she was a woman, you know, she was a girl. She was a girl, so.
So what would Gail do? She'd slap you on the ass and say, "Don't worry about it, sweetheart. It's not nothing for you."
No. She'd do what I said. I mean, she'd make comments about, you know, you're going to have a baby. Let's just make sure you get back down to a size 6. You know, I mean, it made it easy for me when I had people saying that to me. I mean, as you could, you never watched, but. People could see that I got lazy with my weight, but I was also going through the change, yeah. So that didn't help things either. So,
and now I got to clarify. I watched enough soaps when I, in the 60s and early, mostly in the 60s when my mother or my grandmother right. or my aunts were around.
Absolutely.
I never felt like I needed to go back to it.
Yes. Yeah. So, oh, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I mean, I did an interview yesterday with someone who wasn't, had never really watched soaps. His sister had, but he hadn't. And he, you know, that's what I was trying to do with the book too, was to give it enough of a generalization so that people who weren't just soap fans would discover something about me or about my life in this crazy business or, you know, that sort of thing. Make it entertaining for them as well. So,
oh, it's definitely, let me go on the record saying it is a very entertaining book. You don't have to have any knowledge about the soaps. You don't have to care about the soaps to find your story interesting and the way it's told, you know, like, you know, it's not who you know, it's who you, you know.
Yeah.
I repeated that to my wife yesterday after I brought her home, and I said, this is what Kim says about the business. And she, her jaw dropped. She said, well, I, you know, okay. And, you know, it's just – so there's a lot of that. There's some real
– I should go on record to say, too, that I never blew anyone for a job.
But that's apparently the industry standard, apparently.
Exactly.
That's what I read in this book. Well, changing the topic a little bit, there's some wonderful name dropping early on, and it's not because you want to name drop; it's just appropriate. You replaced Kathleen Turner in The Doctors. I imagine your big fans know that, but the general public probably doesn't make the connection. And the part I found fascinating about that was that you were also the woman who took her identity in Body Heat. That's like
I
said to my wife, "We got to go back. Let's go back and watch that again now."
Yeah. And then when she had her, I had my daughter first and named her Rachel. She had a daughter first and named her Rachel.
Oh my God, my daughter is named Rachel.
Oh.
True story.
Hello.
Yeah.
So that was just ironic and, you know, fascinating. And there are times when I'm reflecting back on my career that I think, wow, you know, maybe I could have had her career. And then I think, no, I'm real happy with the career path that I chose, and you know, everybody does that. They think if something else had happened along the way, had I gotten the lead in Body Heat, maybe things would have been different. But I didn't. I wasn't available. So you know.
Well, in the long run, your career was probably more steady and consistent and reliable for your family, and hers has been, you know,
yeah,
big
exactly.
leaps about, so.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
the other great name that's dropped in there that has nothing to do really with soaps is Alec Baldwin, who worked with you on The Doctors when he was 21. What was he like then? And from what I read in the book, you've stayed in contact with him over the years. How different or not is he now?
He's not, honestly, he's not any different than he was when he was 19 years old when I first met him. He's just his problems are just bigger.
Whose aren't?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's true. That's a total generalization on my part. Alec is so is a man so full of life and ideas and dreams and, you know, wishes and hopes for our country, and he's so political, and he just is. And from the first time I met him, I thought, this man is a brilliant man. I mean, he was always so smart and so opinionated. And we became fast friends because I was opinionated as well, but not on the level he was opinionated. No. I'm a little ignorant when it comes to the things that Alec knows about. But he became really good friends with my husband, AC, as well. So we have remained friends. He spends every New Year's Eve at our house. He loves charades. We play charades at our house on New Year's Eve. So he comes just long enough because he's usually – now he's like the voice of the New York Philharmonic. So and they do a big program on New Year's Eve in New York. So he'll be in New York doing that, and then he'll make sure he's back for charades at our house. Sorry.
That's okay.
excuse me. Lilu. Shush.
I have to ask now, what kind of dog do you have?
We have mutts. We adopt dogs from the, you know, whatever, petfinder.com. We go to different rescues around New Jersey and rescue our dogs.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, they're big. I have one that's an 85-pound lap dog.
Wow. That's That's a lot of lap, Kim.
Yeah, a lot of lap.
Well, look, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with longtime guiding light star, Kim Zimmer.
I make people nervous.
No. I'm thrilled to have you here. I just can't talk and read at the same time. Kim's delicious new memoir, of course, is I'm Just Saying, 3 Deaths, 7 Husbands, and a Clone, My Life as a Daytime Diva. And we'll be right back.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
I'm saxophonist Mindy Abair, and you're listening to Mr. Media. Maybe watching, huh?
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with longtime guiding light star Kim Zimmer, whose delicious new memoir is I'm Just Saying, 3 Deaths, 7 Husbands, and a Clone, My Life as a Daytime Diva. 26 years in the same role, is that a gift or a curse?
Well, it's both. You know, we refer to jobs in daytime television as golden handcuffs because as an actor, it's consistent work. You know where you're going to be every day. You know you're going to be home at night to read, you know, bedtime stories to your kids on most days. You can schedule vacations. So it's the greatest job in the industry, I think. But it also, because of that, it becomes a 9-to-5 job. It's a great gig. You become used to it. It becomes routine. You have a second family when you go to work. It is a family. So you have the fortune that you get that at a workplace. So there's pros and cons of it. You know, I took 5 years off and I tried to make a go, you know, in Los Angeles. First of all, I went at 35 years old. I was at least 10 years too old. And then it just, I didn't like booking in as a guest on a show. You know, it becomes so, insincere. Nobody really wants to get to know you because they know you'll be gone in 8 days. I'm not a hobby person. I couldn't sit in my little paddy wagon and knit or sew, or, you know, I did crossword puzzles, but that got old. So I get bored easily. So daytime was perfect for me, or theater. I mean, I love theater too.
And then the last couple, I'm skipping ahead here, obviously, but the last couple of years, you really kind of indicated several points. The last 4 or 5 years of the show, you knew it was in decline. Budgets were being cut. You weren't happy with storylines. As you look back, are you glad you stayed with it, or do you wish you had gotten out sooner and let the ship go down without you?
Well, you know, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. I chose to, especially in the last 2 years. My contract was up for renegotiation when we got the notification of cancellation on April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. And I made the decision, if they wanted me, that I would stay at reduced pay, because I did want to stay with it till the end. As far as going back 4 years, that was tough. I could have walked away many times. And Why I didn't, I don't know, because I did spend 4 years doing a lot of complaining. But in the long run, I didn't want to leave because they were my family. And I was nervous about where else I could possibly land. So I was being selfish in a way as well, weighing all of it.
It seemed like from reading the book that the point, and I don't know that you define it this way, but just as reading it, it seemed like the point where it all really started, the snowball started going downhill faster and faster, was when they came to you and wanted, in the middle of a contract, they wanted you to take a big pay cut and other people pay
illegal.
Cuts. Right, and you refused, and they said, well, eight people are going to be let go if you don't take a pay cut, and you just held your ground. It seemed like from that point...
I felt like I was always having to defend myself.
Yeah.
And that's not good. You know, I always felt like I was, you know, in the attack mode. I may have been putting a lot of that on myself as well, feeling guilty about the fact that I made this stand. But in the long run, when I look back at it, I still feel like I made the right decision. Believe me, what I was making on the show was not enough money to hurt their prospects of keeping the show on the air. You know, just to put that out there. Mm-hmm. People just assume I was making millions of dollars. I was not, believe me.
Well, and the biggest revelation, I think, in the book is about the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about you went from in your refrigerator, in your dressing room, you went from mother's milk, real mother's milk that you were pumping for your children, 2 years later to mother's milk, which was wine usually, I guess.
Yeah.
And that there were a lot that, you know, you reached a point where you were going down to the saloon. I think it was literally called a saloon.
Jake's.
Right? And having a few drinks. And the cast would know that you had basically a liquid lunch. What I wondered, though, is was it who was more surprised by reading about this, do you think, or will be? Was it your family hearing about this? Because this was happening outside of the family purview. You were doing this. AC, your husband, wasn't around then. He wasn't with you all day. He didn't know. And
no.
So who was surprised to read about the drinking on the job and then, of course, the DUI, which was a big surprise?
Well, my family, I mean, I told my sister and her husband knew, and I told some members of AC's family, but, you know, the matriarch and patriarchs of the family did not know because I wanted to make sure I was okay in my life before it came out, which it was. You know, and they weren't liquid lunches. I would have a big piece of salmon along with two glasses of wine.
Good.
It wasn't like I was falling down drunk when I went back to work. I wasn't. I had just numbed myself, you know, with a couple of glasses of wine so that I didn't, like, freak out on people. it just put me in a place where I was able to handle, you know, my disappointments a lot better. But I never, you know, I would have a couple glasses of wine at lunch, and then it would be 6 hours before I'd get in my car and drive home. You know, I would go back to work, and I would work. It was unprofessional, I guess. But I was never, you know, sloppy drunk when I was doing my work. You know, by the time I got to the set, you know, the wine had wore off, like when you cook with it, you know, it was, so I don't ever remember a day where I was, you know, drunk. I mean, there were days when we had parties in dressing rooms where people went back to party scenes and they were toasted.
Yeah.
You know, that was the 80s, you know, everything was going on in the 80s. And the 90s, I think the people who are most surprised are people who never really liked the character to begin with. You know, they have a grudge, or maybe I've, you know, seen them on the streets and haven't said hello. I mean, it's amazing to me. I don't. Most of the response that I've gotten from people that I know personally is as far as the DUI. It could just as easily have happened to me, you know, because it was that one time my number was up, you know, and I got caught, and it cost me $10,000. So it's, you know, if I can say anything about it, don't drink and drive ever. Mm. I mean, that's, and I had to go to AA meetings. I had to go to DUI classes. And I learned a lot about myself and about, you know, other people, the human character, you know, I mean, it really is amazing. And I learned that I'm not an alcoholic because, you know, I can go months without even desiring a drink. I just like to have wine with dinner. That's really, I like to have a nice glass of red wine with a big steak. I like to have a nice Sauvignon Blanc with a piece of fish. You know, I just like that. So I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink. I rarely have a glass of vodka. I don't drink whiskey. No brown liquors. I mean, I'll have a margarita occasionally, but.
So when the show coming to an end, you didn't have a trouble adjusting off of the kind of the daily habit of having the drinks?
Oh gosh, no. No, once the final, you know, tape was in the can, it was, I felt like I had a huge weight off my shoulders. As much as it killed me to say goodbye to everyone, mm-hmm. I felt great. I felt like, even though the whole idea of finding work again was a big mystery, as far as me personally, it was, I felt like I could, you know, just shake it all off and boom, you know what I mean? It felt good.
That's a good sound effect.
And then to be writing the book at the same time was therapeutic too.
Oh, good.
I was able to really, you know, like I said, purge myself of all that negativity that I was feeling.
And work through and think through all the things that were going on.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, folks, listen, you can pick up Kim Zimmer's revealing new autobiography. It's I'm Just Saying, 3 deaths, 7 husbands, and a clone. I'm sorry we didn't even get to talk about the clone. How crazy was that?
That's okay.
My Life as a Daytime Diva. It's at great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price right here at MrMedia.com. It's like right below this video. Kim, can people find you on Twitter or Facebook, things like that?
Twitter, and also KimZimmer.net is my website. And my wonderful Shelley Miller does a great job with my site, so you can visit me there as well.
Great. And we'll have those links also on Mr. Media. Kim Zimmer, thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Media. Come back again anytime.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. For more original interviews with America's top actors and actresses, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And if you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And, of course, you can always listen with a piece of string in a tin can in soap opera land. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line, 727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show, and unless you live next door to Mr. Media, it's probably a toll call. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's Favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code MrMedia, MRMedia, when you register. And thanks for listening.